Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Am I on transmit? No. Great.
Hi, Bobby. Yes, you're all set. Hi,
set. Okay. All right.
You know?
Am I a broadcast?
Yes. Yes, you are. Tell us all about the show tonight.
Well, it's off to an exciting start. 17 minutes of dead air. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for your patience, and welcome to this evening's episode of Exploring Ekphrasis with your very flustered Captain B2. And do I have a co-pilot out there somewhere? Report in co-pilot. Hello? I guess not. Okay. Look. Look. Is that you?
I think he left it with you.
Okay, Bobby, we have Luke Dayar on the line with you. So, hello, Luke, and welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you.
Oh,
good to have you.
No, thank you. Boy, I owe you lunch, Noah. Thank you. Thank you. We're off to an exciting start.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, okay, can you think on your feet? Okay. Well, Luke, thank you so much for filling in for my unauthorized absence co-host, who will be flogged and punished severely once I ever catch up with him. So anyway, well, this evening we've got the results of the contest for the digital realism of Artem Chiboha. And I think you have an entry in this too. So you get
yes.
to read your own entry. How exciting. So
oh,
and we have yeah, and we have no carryovers from the last show. So that makes things a little bit tidier. And since you're familiar probably, Ben Hart has sent us a tome this evening. So I will call dibs on Ben Hart's tome. Apparently he was really inspired. This thing
oh, that's
reads
great.
Like yeah, this thing reads like the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner. So anyway, but we have the digital realism of Rad Chiboha, who is a Siberian Russian artist.
Ooh.
Who does some beautiful stuff, digital enhancements, and some very, very ethereal flights of fantasy. And apparently it really fired up everyone because we maxed out on the entries today, which I haven't done quite some time. So I was very surprised this afternoon when I saw that. So without further delay, why don't you kick off with reading the first piece for us?
Okay.
You know what? And it would probably help if I posted it, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Hey, hang on. I'm sorry. I'm a little flummoxed right here, right now. So while I grab the link, and copy it and take it over to. Here we go. Scrolling. Thank you. Paste. And bum ba da ba. Okay.
Okay.
We're off. And I'll go ahead and do the posting and pasting. So you the waiter's office on that one.
Yes. Booing Off the Ships by Chiyoko X. Set sail with ghostly sails onto the sea for more sails. Where the sails became ghosts, an empty ship was left to boast. Boo! It wanted no more. It wanted to be a ghost. With seagulls and gulls, I found the boat I admire the most. Boo! It's the ghost captain. He sailed as the seagulls flapped in. He declared the ghost ship, the crew's final win. End poem.
Lovely read. Thank you. You're hired.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I thought this was our first entry. It was absolutely charming. I had this poet who is new to AP. We've only got Chiyoko X has like six entries on her page, and I think two of them are from my last two contests. So I'm delighted to see a new writer and someone with a lively sense of humor. So, although I reminded her a couple of times, I'm not sure to which she wrote, but she had fun with it. It's whimsical, And I think it's probably a very charming interpretation of whichever prompt she selected. And there's several of them that it could have applied to. So what did you think of this read?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels kind of like one of those kind of nursery rhymes, in a sense.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, it does.
It's short and sweet. I'm going to say pretty creative in kind of the way with, like, it wanted no more. It wanted to be a ghost. With seagulls and gulls, I found the boat I admire the most. But yeah, absolutely, a wonderful way.
I agree. It's the ghost captain. He sailed as the seagulls flapped in. He declared the ghost ship the crew's final win.
Yeah,
she had. You could tell the writer had fun with this, which is
mm-hmm.
nice. You know, it's. I like seeing the occasional injection of levity and whimsy and humor. And some of the artists lend themselves to that. Some of them obviously do not. Probably the next one I'm going to post is probably not going to lend itself to whimsy at all. But
oh, no.
Well, I try and keep the really grim and bizarre stuff, spaced far enough apart so people don't think I'm, sick and wrong.
So, yeah.
But this is this artist was very ethereal, and I could see where she would have a lot of fun with the illustrations. Okay, so let me post the next one.
Okay.
And paste. And we have Cloudy Dreams by Maria XS. And I'm going to open that link, and I'll read that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think, we got another new writer. Maria only has, I've noticed this contest attracted a lot of brand new AP members, which I was absolutely delighted to see. Got my old standards and it's in there, but a sprinkling of new folks too, which is very nice. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to have Cloudy Dreams. Floating lamp to my right, ballet shoes float tonight. Wrapped inside my blanket, fluffy clouds granted. Laying on my dead arm, I dream of my family. Clouds of oil paintings, I like the old sayings. My parents don't listen. I'm floating in heaven. My sunset behind the clouds, my dream lost in the crowds. Resting from 11 in heaven, I count sheep. There's only 7. End poem.
Wonderful.
And thank you. That was to prompt 8, which is the one that has the woman sleeping in a bed and it's floating in the clouds. And when I posted that one, I was kind of wondering, what kind of write that was going to inspire. So what did you
mm-hmm.
think of Maria's poem?
Once again, short and sweet. I think there's a lot of imagery in this one. I like how the clouds kind of have like more personality to them. So like fluffy clouds rather than just clouds. The clouds of oil paintings, like even that sounds really interesting. I was actually kind of drawn to my parents don't listen. I'm floating in heaven. My sunset behind the clouds. My dream lost in the crowds. Resting from 11 in heaven. I count sheep. There's only 7. I get the sense that this is kind of like before you fall asleep kind of thing. Maybe like when the mind isn't kind of fully awake, like you're just about to kind of go into a
mm-hmm.
deep sleep.
Yeah.
I was kind of drawn to the author's notes. It's thoughts of a dreamer laying inside a bed that doesn't fit her anymore. I tried to write this from my own childhood where I was afraid to move into my new bed. I would count sheep to pass the time, but I miscount sometimes. It would frustrate me until I saw clouds. Again, like that's really interesting because now it kind of paints the picture that mm-hmm. the clouds is kind of like a comfort kind of thing.
Yeah, a great comment. And thank you for catching the AN. I usually do read those, but I appreciate you picking that up.
Oh,
because
no,
it does lend some backstory to the piece. And I like, from a technical point of view, she's got a nice internal rhyme going in this brevity. Mm-hmm. And there's a great use of assonance in here, which I find that you see more assonance in song lyrics than you do in poetry. So when I do see it used in poetry, I'm usually very, very pleased to see that someone, the writer, is using that particular device. Because it didn't... Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got a little bit more technical expertise, almost like enjambment, which is one of my favorite tools. I was using it, and I didn't even know I was, until I had it pointed out to me. So it's like, oh, did I do that? Really? Okay. But I like the stuff, like you said, the visual imagery, the storytelling is very nice. The fluffy clouds, I lay on my dead arm. I like that little detail. Because it makes mm-hmm. you think of when you do fall asleep, sometimes one of your, you know, you fall asleep on your hand or your limb, and it just goes numb on you. Clouds of oil paintings, I like the old sayings. There's a great example of assonance right there. She's got the repetition of the vowel sound. So a very nice brevity I like the interpretation, her interpretation of the selected prompt. So a nice piece from a new writer.
And absolutely.
Let's moving right along now. I will post the next one. And, okay, I'm going to get the right spot on my screen here. I'm not sure. Oh, Tactful Poet says, I wasn't sure what dead arm meant. Well, Tactful Poet is, if you fall asleep in a certain position and the nerve endings have lost all blood flow, and you wake up, and it doesn't. You can't feel your arm or your hand. You know that's what the dead arm is. And I don't like that feeling. I never have. It really feels very strange. It's like you're this disembodied limb you've got hanging off your bum. Okay, here we go. Okay, Athelina sent us a SoundCloud, but I'm going to have to apologize because of all. Have you got it?
I can see it.
Okay. Well, if you can post it, fine. Otherwise, we'll go ahead and we'll read her piece because, you know, with all the technical fun we're having tonight, it's just one more thing that can go sideways on us. Okay. Have you got the capability of doing that?
I don't think so. I can read it.
Well, why don't you go ahead and read it? You're going to have to channel Stellina, you know.
Oh, okay. Our Time by Stellina. Lying together in sweet repose, while in the distance an amber sunset glows, serene in slumber, content to be, senses stroked by the soothing lullaby of the sea. This is our time of sweetly shared solitude, when we lie replete in afterglow mood. The balmy breeze carries not one single word, as only the sounds of nature can be heard. Filling our souls with solace and tranquility, in a Kashmir cocoon of familiar sensuality, lost in this golden world of fiery skies, we drink the passion from each other's eyes. As the waves crash upon the shore, each turning to the other, whispering, more. We sip the wine from willing lips, and sigh beneath tenderly tracing fingertips. For this is the moment when two become one, before the coy countenance of the sinking sun. End poem.
Superb read. Very nice.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I like Stellina's interpretation of the prompt. I like the way she's constructed it, too, with the couplets. It gives it such a lovely cadence and rhythm. We're lying together in sweet repose while in the sunset and amber sunset glows. Great, great beginning. And the ending, for this is the moment when two become one before the coy countenance of the sinking sun. Putting great closing blends all the details from the prompt in there, and you see two pair of feet there, and it's very subtly romantic, subtly very underplayed sensuality. The balmy breeze carries not one single word, as only the sounds of nature can be heard, filling our souls with solace and tranquility. Oh, we drink the passion from each other's eyes as the waves crash upon the shore. Beautifully, beautifully done. I'm sorry we couldn't hear it in her voice, but you did a lovely job of reading it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to say that the poem itself adds like an extra layer of beauty to the painting itself.
Oh,
I feel like, oh no, sorry.
I'm sorry?
Continue.
Oh, I thought I didn't catch your last comment.
Oh, wait. yeah, I said it adds an extra layer of beauty to the painting itself.
Yes, it does. I agree. I agree. This was one of the less fanciful ones in the collection. There's a few in there that that aren't quite as fanciful, and this was one of them. And I included it, wondering if what someone would do with it. When I put the contests together, every once in a while, one or two of the images will provoke a thought on my part about, gee, I wonder if someone's going to write to this one and what they're going to write. So it's kind of like a little grab bag or a treasure hunt. So I get the submissions, it's always interesting to see who has selected what and what kind of a verse it inspired. So. Oh, well, your timing is perfect because right after Stellina is Ben Hart.
Perfect.
Draw a deep breath because I think he wrote like 2,000 words.
that's inspiring.
Well, you know, I'm very flattered and delighted. When someone writes to me that they like the contest, they like the artwork, and that when I suggested and I've been doing this about a year now, surprisingly.
Yes.
Excuse me. When I suggested this to Phil, I had in the back of my mind the idea of ekphrasis would be a good stimulus for folks to write. And some folks really, really draw a lot of inspiration from these artists. So I do the best I can to try and pick from a variety of different artists and make it varied enough to where what doesn't speak to one person will speak to another. So that's little insight into and there's a note up there from Ben. He says, I wrote a book, as you asked, Captain. Yes, you wrote the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, Ben. You know, Ben. So with that note, but you know, if you haven't got something to drink, go get it because you're going to need it. I've got my drink here, so I'm going to open this up. And we'll start on Ben, because I have to say, in anticipation of Ben's write, he always is able to string together several or a series of prompts into a very interesting story. And it flows, even though some of it seems to be disjointed, it flows beautifully. So it's definitely, his writes are definitely imaginative and entertaining and very well written because you get a lot of visual imagery. So with that, we have Ben Hart, Beware. Poets at Work here. Good title, Ben. Thank you. Friday, July 14, 1500. Thanks for showing interest in my well-being, my heartbreak of the day. For you, either think nothing of yourself or very little of me. Perhaps one day you'll see all we did create since 18. Because every pugilist defeated needs a Valkyrie to fly. And you remind me of the place of healing we pass through upon dying. Just look up, goddess of old, and find a universe blue waiting to hold you. One, Rukfigur, I hope that pronounced it right, Rukfigur, girl, I don't know. Goodbye, girl, I don't know. With your shoddy bike and your ragged jeans, it saddened me to watch you leave. Because I fall in love with passerby and imagine in an instant our entire lives. And I would have been your Atlas had you given me the world. We could have been happy and together forget for a moment this earth is the only home we'll ever have. And for a moment it felt so true that this was our infinity of numbered days and decaying places. How I would love to have seen it all with you. Two. Signs. And I ask God, does she feel it too, or will she leave me blue? And when I looked up at nature imitating the art of the carnal, in every bruised shade and form, I knew enough this is love. And so, yes, I am looking forward to the storm, and it's funny to me that even days we spent at the end, and with another sunset, we'll never forget. Sunset. I tell him he's being a heartless bastard again because it's all too beautiful. But maybe it wouldn't be so bad to become one and take part in something so infinite. And if man should become something, I will make something else. Because if in this life I couldn't love myself, I've already paid my debts to hell. So make something of me if you can, if you must. Let me become the colors of the dusk, because the dawn was never there for us. But the fallen you can trust, because the beautiful prison that is day, it too must rust to make way for a darkness we can touch. Without feeling corrupted, an emptiness so vivid, beautifully interrupted by starlight, the fallen still putting up a fight. Singing in silence, human beings, please. Kindly, don't forget me. The last stand. Fuck the divide. Mankind will never have my mind. And it's okay if the curve lies far behind and half the universe sees light and the other half finds it blinding. This is my time. This is my life. And I don't need you to find me. I know my own beauty. And I know my own way out of the black earth in which I'm bound. But I also know that it's when it's time to stand my ground, and on me the devil called home the hounds. And then he himself came around, and it was good to see my friend again, and I wept when he said I had never let him down, because I knew the words, but not how they sound, because this whole world shuts their mouth when things start to go south, unless they're looking for someone to pin it on. Outcasts, are we really, if we're the ones to have gone? And when death found us, the devil told me to run, that he would hold her off. But I've never let him down, and I wasn't starting now. So I told him, it's been fun. And for such a sad life, there was a lot of love. Overgrown, five, overgrown. Growth. Oh, how it can confine. Put into places that offered no escape, a tightening, mundane, pushing at our growth lines. There's no way out, nowhere to run, but out of time. Six, the way there is always longer Voyager. Voyager, where from did your first steps take you? And was the journey in the end the destination? Was it always as simple as this, motion into making? I wonder if I leave with you now, where all the days will take me, in the end. The clouds were just dream catchers, a gathering of smoke upon leaving the matchstick. The empty illusion interrupted to reveal a sudden glimpses the way to heaven. To them, it's just basic instinct to go where they're wanted because they know the depth as home and not as haunting. And so they need not wait for dawn to be their calling. Heaven is where the rain is falling. The fallen letting it be known, they too, for you, are in mourning. Oh, we got seven twice. Okay. The fight. And the further we stray from the herd, the quicker they'll turn. When we ask them to stay, and the further it grows, the more it takes away, the more it chokes those below trying to grow just the same. Whoever said breathing is not a war until it's not abundant anymore was onto something, writhing on the floor. Blue in the face, watching life leaving the same way it came, with lungs heaving. And the more we ache, the less we say, because we're afraid to wake and find something else that we thought we could rely on had become another bygone. Holding on to our last past age was one of love and not of thunder. We called for the herd in hopes to remain, but they ran us asunder. And lying there in the dirt, we realize even prey become hunter when they grow too far in number, the further we stray from the herd. The more life becomes, the more freedom there's to breathe in, the gift by which death repaid their leaving were fields full of something stronger than men. And there's nothing more than God can demand of us, for so much more he wanted, for death had given him nothing but her beloved herd, poppies all across Flanders. The truth. And I must know I am uninfinite, so I don't forget my place in time is mine and no one else's. It's my life to lose, to delve as deep as I want to delve it, and no one is behind, just going their own way, and this road is mine. And beacons of Eden that burn their eternal flame shall so call home the strays. And she'll say, it's been a long time, snake. I heard you kissed a man in a garden. If you could have done that for him, why did you let me live? So heartless. Why do you insist on being the martyr, alone in the darkness? And I'll reply without folly or lie, because without me, they'll have no God to believe in. Everything exists only in contrast. For if all we knew was silence, then music had just been sound. And darkness is tomorrow, and darkness is past. But the light is now, and if the light should last, it will be their last, and they're not ready yet for that part. But Eden, don't worry so much. You may think it was the beacons that retrieved me, but it was really the beat of your heart. Rest. I'm done. I'm so tired of being pushed out of places I was just starting to feel safe in, with the same people giving different reasons that lie dormant beneath my blistered skin, ready to be awakened of the waiting for the rain that kept promising it was coming soon, but never did make it, of the weight on my shoulders, the stress of getting older, and though I lie and say I'll weather it, it just might break me. The bells of human temples. I'm only as drunk as I am when I stand up and feel the ground reach all the way up to my head. When I think I'm looking at phantoms, but they're still my friends, it seems, and for a moment I consider falling, because perhaps as death she'll find me handsome and not hold my heart for ransom. Because if I break my neck, I spare myself the cancer coming back from the intermission that was my little 50s. And when I am 23, And this is just the norner of trauma trying to make me stronger so I can hold out a little longer. And though trauma lays roots in past and grows through future into a suffocating future. And though trauma lays roots in past and grows through present into a suffocating future, I've always been a pugilist. And so all the people I have become, they will never have to lose us because I'm pushing the ground back down and stand the one who will hold you when the clouds unravel into rain and this world will never be again a theater of drunks and phantoms. Frequency. It's not fair that distance divides and the hills displace the trembling call of little hearts in an impossible all. But when the horizon aligns, nothing ever again is small. I can't make a sound to make someone look around and find someone in need, desperate to be seen. But I realize now maybe they'll hear me, and there's just nothing to be found. Maybe I'm gone already. Maybe I just wasn't meant to be forever a part of poetry. Fallen. The leap from the lion's head across the steep depths of death. I've been watching them brave it, and so far they've not made it. None of us have made it into heaven yet. The way out, and death is the last cure for all we're enduring, for every aching we can't shake, every heart that couldn't rebuild after breaking, every day you wish you hadn't woken, and every truth you left unspoken, which then festered into misunderstandings. And death will not sequester us into a lone nothingness. It's like the plane on takeoff. It's just the ground falling away, a tender unhanding from which we won't wake up. And it's just your imagination what the afterlives are based on, because in truth, we won't be away long. It's just that in death, time is not as strong. But you'll be glad you came and to have taken the time to exist there, because no moral view, no mortal view compares. Come and find me. And I could love what mattered least because it's meant something to me to become sunlight through the reeds. Only then I'll ever feel free among those who knew exactly why nowhere was the place to be. And you'll tell yourself you're poets, but you don't have any idea what that means, because you're just repeating what mattered most to fucking ghosts who said it better. Even then, it was fucking hopeless. Even on the days I phoned in, I could smoke them and then still write 2,000-word poems, which they won't read on the radio. But hey, that's their prerogative. If they can't take the time to find it mesmerizing, then they were only hype men stuck on commas and hyphens whilst I'm here with the sirens. Kishmael, the star that shines the brightest, and Eski, master of love and the terrifying, who were born to heal the lifelessness. You will never confine us because we need no admirers. We're mountains to be climbed, envoys to be overcome, before being granted a path to God, masters of more than just the mind, architects of our own infinity. Come and find out how far behind you are. And if you want to know the number of our victories, just count the scars. Ben Hart will either leave you behind or take you far. End of poem.
That was an incredible read.
I need oxygen. And a drink. Oh my, well that was an incredible write. And the way the pervasive thread of existentialism through it all. I mean, the presence of God ducks in and out of this. Excuse me. Ducks in and out of this, like someone trying to thread their way through a crowded room. It's very interesting. What did you think of it? Then I will continue on with my thoughts. But what did you think of it?
I absolutely enjoyed it. I definitely don't think I can do this justice in terms of feedback.
He does write some very dense. This is definitely a very cerebral write. There is a lot of existentialism in it, a lot of philosophy, some very profound thought. And as you said, it's one of those things that you have to, it's like caviar. You nibble it. You sample it carefully a little at a time. You don't mm-hmm. gulp it. You know, you just don't just shove it in your mouth and chew it all up at once. This is one of those things that you kind of have to cogitate over and read several times. And it's one of those things that, like some artists, each time you look at it, you see something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that is my fascination with Ben's writing, is that he is a profound thinker. But you'll notice it isn't, it's almost colloquial in its approach. It is not
yes.
florid. It's not verbose. It's actually almost conversational in the way he presents
mm-hmm.
it. But there's a fascinating amount of internal rhyme to this also. It almost has the, I don't know how you think of this, it almost has the feeling of beat poetry. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It almost
yes.
has the feeling to me of a beat poetry. It almost has like a Kerouac feel to it.
I just think that if I was to make a comment on this, it will take the whole show. So,
well, give us your encapsulated view of this. What is you? Is there anything in it that leaps out at you? Any thought that really captured you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just takes me on a journey. And not only does it take me on a journey, like, it feels very spiritual. I would say I definitely need to read it again, for sure. But
I
really
like
enjoyed it.
I'm sorry, I like your characterization of spiritual. That's a great way of putting it. It does have that. Yeah, it does have that. Without being, what's the word I'm looking for? Without being... without proselytizing, without being like a sermon, it has that provocative flavor to it of trying to put forth an idea to see how it lands. So, but yes, you're right. It does. It's one of those things that merits reading again. And I swear to God to you, Ben, if you write another one this long, I'm going to hunt you down and flog you with your poetry. No, seriously, the fact that the contest inspires this kind of write is just I'm awestruck by it, and very honored.
Mm-hmm.
That this kind of outflowing, this outpouring of thought came from him. So I'm just, I hope I can continue provoking this kind of return on my contests. But okay, let's, we're halfway through the show already. Oh my goodness. It just helped that we lost the 15 minutes up front. So that's all right. You know, If that's the worst that ever happens to me, that I've had a good life, you know. No one caught fire, nothing exploded, so it's all good. that's my baseline, you know. if you know, I'm warm, I'm dry, I'm, and no one's firing rounds over my head, so I'm good, you know.
Yes.
Okay. So, would you like to tackle the next one, dear?
Yes. Okay. So this is. Sophia's Memory, P. PT3, which I believe stands for Part 3, by Sophie X, or Sophie X, Memory. It's the orca of the distant skies. Let's huddle together with dry eyes. But don't weep any tears for her. She doesn't weep while in the sky. Huddle with me. Don't ask the reason why. Those distant clouds of all changes. That's our skies as it rearranges. Our love for each other huddled warm. Don't weep any more tears. Asking to be reborn. We've had our time down here. It's time to fly like the orca. Orca. I know the memories swim towards us. It's not easy holding together our bus. It was distant, like the distant orca. Just know it's you that I will always order. If ever there is such a place for us, down here we made the most of us. Let's huddle together, just a while longer, like the distant orca. Our hearts will go on, stronger. End poem.
Lovely read.
Thank you.
I like the way she's divided this into like a, it's almost like a conversation. You've got memory speaking and then the orca responding. And I like that. And I like her interpretation of the prompt. It's I think it's very imaginative. And by the way, we have another new writer. Here's another. She's got 10 pieces on her page. And I think, yeah. And this is, I think, this is my second contest that she's entered. So I'm delighted to see her back. I like this. It has a very ethereal flavor to it. What did you think of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at the painting that inspired this one. I like how it feels, like you said, there's like a connection between, I believe, the poet's memory and the orca itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was really drawn to those distant clouds of all changes. That's our skies as it rearranges. Our love for each other huddled warm. Don't weep any more tears, asking to be reborn. It almost feels like acceptance, like they're accepting everything for what it is rather than asking for more. For example, like the acceptance comes from, we've had our time down here. It's time to fly like the orca. Like the orca itself is kind of, it's so happy living its life. It's not asking for more. Like it just wants to be an orca. And that's what I get from this.
Great comment. And while you were offering that, it made me think that it's almost like the orca is spiritual. It's like,
yeah.
It's a spiritual projection of what has come before. It's like a phantom of love. But I like what you said. It is. It's also acceptance. And the two of them mm-hmm. sitting on the pier. The orca in the distant skies. Let's huddle together with dry eyes. Don't weep any tears for her. She doesn't weep well in the sky. Huddle with me. Don't ask the reason why. That mm-hmm. the first stanza is very striking. And I like the internal rhyme on this. It's got a lovely cadence. And it's great storytelling, too. I really like the way the Sophie has taken the details of the image and built this piece around them. It's very well constructed and a very it's a delightful read.
Absolutely.
So, great comment. Thank you for that. Let me post something else in there. Okay. Come on, Bobby. You can do this. Okay, we have one of our old standards here. We have Thomas B. I enjoy Thomas's writing because he also is a very philosophical thinker. His his writings are usually very, very layered, very, very philosophical, very ethereal. So very esoteric, I should say. Let me tackle this. We have Never Stay by Thomas B. We knew she would be leaving, like the sun leaves the day and allows nighttime to sparkle. We knew as well as the wind. It blew gently when she approached the fields, displaying a path to her favorite boulder, the ache in a summer breeze, kissing the nape of her neck, keeping the heat from growing too great, the buzz of insects from drawing too near. We cherished every moment, didn't waste time counting down until she left. No, we celebrated and danced with joy every moment we got to share with her. Wonder should never be doubted, and awe pulled to the heart. You knew her relationship with the universe, uniquely hers. Somehow everything about her cherished its aliveness, found a way to shine with life. We watched her talk to the clouds and how the audience grew day after day. Thunder made her laugh, clap her hands, and the shower that followed left her with tears streaming from her eyes and flowers dancing for a chance to see her smile. Smile she did, again and again. Every creature, a member of God's creation, followed her, waiting for her to notice. Eyes widened and whisper lovely words, so they felt themselves suddenly the most important and wondrous creation imaginable. She left. That is too swift and sharp a description. She departed, separated from us to go to do more important things. We knew for someone so full of love, greater vistas would be hers. We cried briefly. We knew we were deeply blessed. We had loved and been loved. What more can you ask when someone like her walks into your life? End poem.
Wonderful read.
Thank you. Wow. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. This one feels like kind of reserving the memories that you shared with someone. Kind of, again, with the acceptance, kind of accepting how that the life is like has lived a meaningful life, while also kind of about letting go but being happy at the same time. Like, for example, we cried briefly. We knew we were deeply blessed. That alone just kind of speaks to me on exactly what I just said.
Mm-hmm. I heard something a few days ago that struck me and resonated with me. The thought was that I'd heard can be happy and sad at the same time about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this strikes me as you said, the last stanza, separated from us to do more important things. We knew for someone so full of love, greater vistas would be hers. We cried briefly. We knew we were deeply blessed. We loved and had been loved. The interpretation of this picture, I thought of all of them, this one was particularly lovely. I think had this not been my contest, I perhaps might have written to this particular image, because it is, to me, it seems so evocative. The position of the woman and looking at the sky and just the horizon and the vastness of it. It makes the sky, in contrast, makes her seem small. And yet, in his writing, he points out the vastness of the world around her. He also makes a very specific point of her impact on it. and how significant it was. So I said to Thomas, I think this has got to be one of the loveliest things you've ever written. So my compliments to you on this. And thank you for your very deep thoughts on this. Now let me go back and grab another link because it's your turn. Oh, look at it. I know this guy.
Oh?
I know this writer. I know this guy. I want to hear what he has to say. Let's see. here we go. Who is this hack anyway? Peggy and Luke Jr.
Oh, nice.
While I have you here in person, I have to tell you, I love your naming conventions, the way you take two words of the same beginning letter and balance them off each other, almost like a set of scales.
Oh, thank you.
I've always noted that one of the first times I read your piece, one of your pieces, and I really enjoy that. I like the, it's almost like a signature.
Yes.
So please treat us with your words in your own voice.
Okay. This is Halcyon Horse. Ghastly, ghostly goals. Clouds, creative, clearance. Two twitching hoofs, horse. Riders, revenge. Weather begins to dwindle, devously divine. Shadowish, samurai. Night within clouded thoughts. Resting under charcoal, chipped caverns. Standing taller than the clouds. Riders, revenge, obsession opaque, sticky notes unwritten, madness on the painting of bedridden, beacon of light forever in the distance, light traveling tight corners, riveting hoarders, where shadows go, rider follows unwritten, orders, orders, orders. Where the horse pushes the rider into the unwritten mist, following orders from the unwritten list, where shadows continue to dwell deeper within weatherfall, rainfall continues to disturb the storms beneath, earthquakes begin to shake the ravenous rider, where the horse pushes the time, tick, tuck, tick, tuck, that's where you will find her. End poem.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Loved hearing you read that.
Thank you.
Really enjoyed that. Would you like to say something about this write?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very inspired by the painting itself. Originally, I was kind of going with the idea of the head in the clouds, but the horse was kind of the balance of the rider, because the horse is on like two hoofs.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started to kind of get inspired by the kind of charcoal like stone terrain that the rider and the horse was on, and then I was really kind of inspired by the what seemed to me like unwritten sticky notes kind of pasted all over the stone itself, and
mm-hmm.
unwritten was kind of my main kind of inspiration from this.
Well, I enjoyed your interpretation of it very much. I really did.
Thank you.
When I posted this, I was intrigued by it, because I was wondering how someone would interpret the particular image, because I thought it had a lot of intriguing details in it, and especially the post-it notes all over the base of the statue. I see where you said the head in the clouds, but I like the fact that you addressed more the storm around the figure and the unwritten post-it, because the post-it notes are all blank. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I like your attention to that detail, that they are all blank. There's nothing written on any of them. So all the notes are unwritten. But and the fact that Halcyon, denoting a period of time in the past that was idyllically happy and peaceful, how perhaps before when this was actually a person and not simply a figure, that perhaps there was something more to this figure's life than this now symbolic existence, where the horse pushes the rider into the unwritten mist, following orders from the unwritten list. I like that couplet very much. And where the shadows continue to dwell deeper within Weatherfall. I really liked your last stanza especially, but I liked of the figure. I really, really enjoyed this write. So thank you for contributing this.
No, thank you for inspiring me.
Oh, I do enjoy seeing your entries because they're always you. I have to compliment you. Your use of metaphor. I enjoy the way you balance them. They're artful without being obscure. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there are other writers out there, and I have one specifically in mind, though I won't mention his name. His writing, I'm sure, really means a lot to some people, but every time I read it, I just get thoroughly confused. And I've tried reading it aloud. I've tried reading it several times, and I'm like, okay, I'm sure this is very deep, but I have no fucking clue what he's talking about. But it's almost like, you know what it reminds me? Almost like a Hieronymus Bosch painting.
Yeah.
And that's this poet's style, is this haphazard melange of if you study it, you know, too closely, it will give you a headache. So thank you for not delving into the totally obscure but I do enjoy the way you use your cinema your metaphors, especially the charcoal chipped cave. I like that. That's clever. Alrighty, we have another new this is, I think, like the second contest that Jewish Juggernaut has contributed to, and this I'm assuming that this is a gent. I can only guess because the illustration that goes with it is sufficiently vague. But this is another new writer. It does look like a fellow. Okay, it's he's only got like 9 pieces on his page, but this is like his second contribution to a contest. So, and he also gave us a SoundCloud, which I'm sorry to say that we're not going to be able to play. So my apologies for that, but I will try and I will try and channel him as best I can. So we have Pride Mountain. Higher still, this is not even the beginning of my will. Another thrill, another chill. I yearn for battle. I will make the very bones of this mountain rattle. As Moses was called onto Mount Sinai at the beckon of fire, fire that burns within my heart. From the paved path I did part, my unrelenting glory desire will bring about a flood, testosterone surging through my blood. I am this mountain's calamity, fighting against gravity. My backpack is my mantle, my battle standard, the loose dirt beneath my boots. Each step upward, I slide downward. I grip brittle, twisted roots. They uproot from my strength, overhead ravens flock. I place my palms on jagged rocks. They crumble beneath my might. toppling down the mountain's length, reminiscent of the stone tablets inscribed with the first thoughts of the tenth. My soul, God might smite, only this wretched dirt may my hands clench. How I grapple and toil with this scorching soil, fingers through gloves tearing and searing, fleeting dirt and falling ash and turmoil at my royal blood boiling, at my insatiable hunger for blood spoils. Through pain, my body chisels. Through ivory thistles, my weakness is massacred by crimson crystal missiles. To the heavens, my prayers are an epistle. Lord, deliver your servant demise that I might continue to serve you. Give me the strength to rise. May I my ascent be true toward the sky blue where the world will be in view. That I might continue to purge, kill, fight, and die with righteous aim, this mountain I will claim in your holy name. Brighten my soul's incandescent flame. One false step leads to the end. My spirit will not break. My will will not bend. Snakes lurking beneath rocks will not make my resolve shake. My demon's flesh I rend. With each step this mountain quakes. Fight hard for one more breath to bring one more demon's death. One more kill. One more skull. Before my might this mountain will tremble. Ravens caw from their beaks. When I look to the mountain's peaks, I have already fallen, and so I climb through death. The scorching winds filling my lungs' breath. Vast desert fields beneath are revealed. I will endure a thousand deaths and still never yield. My sublime wrath I wield. My faith is my shield. I will not force my demons to kneel. I will make this mountain keel. Excuse me. Like a I shatter my limit as I lift myself to the summit. I make it out alive. I prevailed with God on my side because the fire inside burned brighter than the fire outside. I see the hawk soar, triumphant. I roar. All creatures that hear me in fear shall adore. I have become more powerful than before. I raise my broad shoulders in a prideful stance, overlooking the expanse. The winds applaud. Praise God. I have been gone for hours from my family. My focus, my pride devours. Focused on nothing but becoming this mountain's calamity. I succeeded. My pride I heeded. Ventured on a lone conquest on a whim, stemming from my sins of blind pride, fueling their minds with a fear tide, swimming in mental mires, nightmares grim because of my prideful fires and raging spires. I am not lost, though my focus was cold as frost. I will find my family, will give no apology. I do not regret what has transpired here. I have conquered fear. I have conquered death, wielded valor from my sheath, adamantine embers glimmering from my laurel wreath. Though I will be patronized, though I will be scolded, though what has happened here will be mischaracterized, though my character will be generalized, though my achievements will be unrecognized, though my triumph will be degraded, though snide remarks will be uttered, though provocations will be snickered. I must take extreme ownership of my sin. I must not lose my temper. For this I will win. For this I will be the victor. Further into the fray, in one glorious day, I will climb two harrowing mountains, a physical mountain and a pride mountain. End poem.
Wow.
I think he just gave Ben Hart a run for his money. Wow. That is quite a write. And some damn fine storytelling. What did you think of that?
Where do I even start? Once again, I feel that I've been taken on a journey. The lines that I was really drawn to were, my backpack is my battle standard, the loose dirt beneath my boots. Each step upward, I slide downward. I kind of get the idea of like kind of like having to deal with a lot of pressure. Kind of in that kind of same idea of pushing a boulder like up a hill kind of thing. I grip brittle, twisted roots. They uproot from my strength. Overhead, ravens flock. I place my palms on jagged rocks. They crumble beneath my might. So, again, like, I'm seeing somebody who's, like, gaining more strength throughout this story.
Mm-hmm.
Almost kind of becoming godlike. Like, that's what I'm getting from this.
Yeah. That does sound like that. I was looking at the center. My demon's flesh I rend with each step this mountain quakes. Fight hard for one more breath to bring one more demon's death. One more kill, one more skull before my might this mountain will tremble. Ravens caw from their beaks. When I look to the mountain's peaks, I have already fallen. It's an interesting write because I'm getting a couple of messages here. I get almost the sense of the Crusades in the Middle Ages, how they were driven forward, they said, by God and
mm-hmm.
by the virtue of their faith. But beneath that, that was on the surface. But beneath that were other more personal, more ambitious motivations. Well, the had the veneer being faith, driven by Christianity, driven by faith. But beneath that, the substrata was personal glorification.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of want to extend on that with the
please
kind of bringing attention to the further into the fray. In one glorious day, I will climb two harrowing mountains, a physical mountain and a pride mountain. So with some more kind of thought on this, I'm now also thinking that. You've kind of got your physical mountain, which is like a real mountain that they're climbing.
Yes.
And then Pride Mountain is kind of like a mental mountain. It's like an end goal kind of thing. And that mountain that's like in the mind can be extended to whatever size that you want it to be. It can be as monumental as you want it to be. And I think it kind of borrows on the idea of when someone says to you, like, okay, you know, I'm feeling quite afraid to climb this mountain kind of thing. And then someone will be like, you know, I'll climb it with you. And then they may ask, like, how will I know if I've reached the top kind of thing? And the person might say, well, we can always, like, stop halfway. Like, it's just kind of like that.
Great comment. While you were offering that, I was also looking at that same stanza, and my thought was, further into the fray, and one glorious day, I will climb two harrowing mountains, a physical mountain and a pride mountain, both of which can be treacherous and lead to the climber's destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Because what is it? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I believe that's the quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, if the climber is not is not overcome by the physical mountain, they might be overcome by the pride, trying to overcome their personal pride, because I get that that one stanza though. Though I will be patronized, I will be scolded, will be mischaracterized, my character will be generalized, my achievements will be unrecognized, my triumph will be degraded, provocations will be sniggered, I must take extreme ownership of my sin. And I don't know whether they're looking at pride as a sin or a virtue? Said, I must not lose my temper, for this I will win, for this I will be the victor. It's a very provocative rite. You know, this is, I could see a whole discussion, a whole evening's worth of discussion around this piece. I wish we could get him on here to comment on it. I enjoyed the complexity of this piece because it does, it puts forth a lot of material, a lot for the reader to consider, to ruminate over. And I do like writings that are that make the audience think.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this definitely does do that. So, well, now that we've beat that horse to death, let me go back to, where am I here? Oh, no. I've got too many tabs open. Let's have a moment here while Breeden closes. There we go. Getting a little cluttered up there. You get to read. You get to read. Kana Amor, you lucky rascal, you. Let me pluck this out of here. Copy. Move. Scroll. Paste. Very good. Drugs and therapy do work. Okay. And there we are. And this one's yours, dear.
Okay. Pyre of the Eternal Flame by Akana Amor. In her seething lair of churning magma, a hungry goddess rests in radiant repose, patiently waiting to ascend from below, to add flammable fuel to immolating dreams. Pyra, beautiful goddess of the eternal flame, burns ever brightly amid torrents of lava, emerging from glowing embers of fluid fire, candescent in shades of scorching amber, my blazing mistress of dormant desire, erupts sensual storms of conflagration. Her steamy seduction is boiling within, branding me inside with torrid temptations, swimming in the intensity of citrine eyes, inviting me to incinerate within her smile, clawing my thoughts with a sweltering fever. I'm unable to resist her fiery allure. She lights my fuse with sizzling whispers, hurling hellish heat towards my torment, dancing naked, beckoning me to join her, undulating in exotic worlds of pyric passion. We make love, igniting sparks of ecstasy. I melt into vapor upon moist, molten lips, oxidizing in the inferno of blistering kiss, entwined in an embrace of no return, igniting my senses with flaming promises, combusting spontaneously to a tender touch, crumbling beneath her smoldering caress, in kindled curves that liquefy my lust, evaporating in Pyra's carnal furnace. White heat dissolves my flesh to ash, cremated by elemental infatuation, as I'm seared to cinders in smoking bliss. End poem.
I was brilliant on mute. Oh, God. I don't believe I just did that. Are you there? Hello? Am I by myself? Oh, please tell me I'm not by myself. Oh, no. Oh, I'm apologizing. I'm not sure. I'll have to fix it. No, that was me. Uh-oh. Luke has lost the connection. Oh, no. Well, I will fly solo on this and try and recapture a bit of my brilliance. Yeah, I see that. Oh, dear. Thanks, Phil. In the meantime, I'll get my straw hat and my cane out, and I'll do a little dance and make some balloon animals. Anyway, my review on this, which I thought was bloody brilliant, and I'm sorry I did it into a dead phone. I really enjoyed Arcana's interpretation of this particular prompt. He definitely flexes his vocabulary in this particular writing, and his I think his thesaurus got a hell of a workout too, because he's got the thread of the image through woven through the entire piece. He's got churning magma and radiant repose and immolating dreams, eternal flame, torrents of lava, fluid fire, conflagration, one of my favorite words, torrent temptations, sweltering fever, sizzling whispers, pyrrhic passion, another good word, pyrrhic, molten lips, blistering kiss. It definitely has really captured the essence of the image here. And I really, this to me, this is very carefully crafted piece. Clearly, a lot of deliberation and detail went into the wording of this particular rite. And I dare say this is on the order of a verbal Vermeer in its delicious attention to detail. So Arcana, I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to play your SoundCloud so we could hear it in your own voice, but really, really enjoyed this particular entry. So sounds like I'm flying solo. And so moving right along now, as unaccustomed as I am to public speaking, that was a joke. Okay, let's see. We're going to go over here and grab a link. Oh, my former co-pilot here is up next. Whoops. And I have I'm fighting with my mouse here. So a moment while I grab this, copy, paste, modern technology. Thank you. There we go. Okay. And we have Dan DeShino doing perspective. I will go ahead and read this as opposed to not. Dan DeShino. Just perspective. What is a hurricane to a manta ray but a battle in a drowning world? Albatross guide as a manta ray reflection, and I walk between the void of the abyss and the emptiness of the heavens. Humpbacks dance and breach to breathe, children on a water slide, and jumbo jets race through the sea just to stay afloat as vapor trails mock the clouds. On the peaceful days, the sky with brush strokes of light, a self-portrait creation on the face of the sea. Why does not the sky respect the ocean's artistry? The humpback whales dance. I do not think they care about it, about any of it, into the sky, and the self-portrait of heaven shudders with respect. Manta rays fly. Birds float, humpbacks dance, and humanity sails between watching. End poem. And that was written to prompt 17, which is I go to the contest. And I think I know which one this is. This is the one with the, whoops, I was scrolling right back. Okay, this is the one, it's not the one I thought it was. I think it's written to two of them. But there's one that has manta rays in the sky, but this one has a humpback whale breaching in the clouds. as a lone figure with a surfboard under his arm, stands on the beach, looking at the horizon. So it's a beautiful image, and I like the way Dan has. I like his opening. What is a hurricane to a manta ray, but a battle in a drowning world? And I think he's and humpbacks dance and breach to breathe, children on the water slide. He's captured, I think, the spiritual feel of the artwork. It has a very ethereal feel to it. Again, like the one image we were talking about earlier where the orca was in the sky, I think this one also has that same spiritual feel. The last stanza, or the next to the last stanza, the humpback whales dance. I do not think they care about any of it. They breach into the sky, and the self-portrait of heaven shudders with respect. Beautiful stanza, and a beautiful rite, Dan. I really appreciate your contribution, and I miss your presence. We always had fun together on Saturday evening, you and I. So anyway, let me go back to the chat board here and fetch the next piece. And since I seem to be flying solo here, I guess I will ask myself to read. Okay, copy. And into the inbox we go. Okay, paste. And there we are. Okay, we have, and we have about 20 minutes left, and I'm not sure if we're going to get through all of the rest of the pieces, since we did have 18 of them this evening. So let me go to Jenny the Deep's piece here and read this. Okay. A Solace Rebirth, excuse me, by Jenny the Deep. Take what you need, your mouth is to feed, like we are to bleed. But take what you want and dare to flaunt. Soon we will be the haunt. Fly with me and let them be. They can't take what they don't see. Death becomes us all. There will be an upheaval. Escape to another place, away to where you are safe. Discover the truth within. Safety is an illusion, another sin. Yet we do find solace in rebirth as we lose ourselves to Mother Earth. And a poem. Beautiful brevity. I like the interpretation of the prompt. Very, very clever, very imaginative. The second and third stanza, would take what you want and dare to flaunt. Soon will be the haunt. Fly with me and let them be. They can't take what they don't see. Beautifully said. The image is of a large white tree that seems to be breaking through a cloud cover. It's a very very ghostly looking thing, but very beautiful. And at the base of it, in the distance, is a lone figure looking at it, which I, excuse me, I can imagine is the writer contemplating. Discover the truth within. Safety is an illusion, another sin. Yet we do find solace and rebirth as we lose ourselves to Mother Earth. Beautiful, right, Jenny? Thank you. I wish I could get another opinion on it, but unfortunately, you're going to have to be content with mine. So. And moving right along now, let me close this tab because things are getting messy on top. There we go. Okay, we have, who knows, with just me reading, we may get through the rest of these this evening. Who knows? We'll see. Let's see, we have, let me copy that one. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, we'll see. Maybe if I read quickly. Okay. All right. The next one is Paste by Cloudscape by Robert T. Peace, I believe is the way that's pronounced. Okay. We have Cloudscape. The sky commences from my feet and spans the surface of the earth. So when you say you're in the clouds, it's true. I walk toward hurricanes, roam overcast, breathe mist and fog, watch cities choke on caustic smog, contrails left by endless jets, volcanoes blazing days away. Gold smolders of old holy wars, sick billowings of industry. Dim heavens never fully glimpsed since wildfires sear the night. I've sensed an even deeper light past vague rays of a straining sun. The dawn of knowledge, newness, truth beyond exhaust or darkening. What must be noticed, not obscured by any tragic atmosphere or lost to ambiguity. I'll banish shadows till I see. End poem. Excuse me while I take a quick drink here.
There we are.
Okay. I'm going to fetch this. Okay, this is the prompt number 4, and that is scrolling back up here. Okay. Interesting. It's interesting. It's an image of a wrecked boat. Looks like almost like a small fishing vessel on the beach. Obviously wrecked on the beach, but in the sky, in the distance, are the sails of a large 3-masted sailing ship. So again, we have a very ethereal image in the sky, and let's see. We'll go back to the piece. The sky commences from my feet and spans the surface of the earth. When you say you're in the clouds, it's true. Very interesting. Trace contrails left by endless jets, volcanoes blazing days away. I sensed an even deeper light past vague rays of a straining sun. It is almost as though the writer has while he's identifying with the shipwrecked hull of the small vessel, his reach, it goes beyond that. Dim heavens never fully glimpsed since wildfires sear the night, and I'll banish shadows till I see. I think we're looking to the horizon and the possibilities, and it's almost though the wrecked vessel has dreams of being something grander. Well, at least, unfortunately, I wish I could get someone else's opinion on this, but mine's going to have to suffice as sparse as it is. Okay, let's close that and go to the next one. We have Singed by the Hellfires by Blue Light. Ooh, this sounds interesting. And if I can grab that. There we go. Copy. And paste. Oh, Amy, God bless you. You're out there. Girlfriend, I can't tell you how nice it is not to be alone. Appreciate your input on the board. Amy writes, lovely write, Jenny. Looks like you took the prompt. And then she writes about Robert's piece. Great imagery, Robert. And that end line, I'll banish shadows till I see, is particularly profound and leaves a great resounding effect. Well said. And thank you for that comment. And I'm looking forward to your comments on this next one. So, and whatever you pen out there, I will read. So let's open this one. And we have, oh, yes, I remember when I posted this image. Blue Right 76, who is nope, that person's been around for a while. They're just new. I think they're new to my contest. I've not seen an entry by this author before. So let's see what they have to say. Singed by the hell's fires. The day is calm and the bereft artist thirsty for the muse in blind boredom saunters into forsaken land, poisons and postulations galore, where faint-hearted perish in numbers, war zones where the trumpet of action blows in blaring blazes. Erupting volcanoes never cease to spew, lava flows in hell's rivers, found he his muse, uranium in the mine that maims you at reach. Claws for his throat, sinking him in quicksands where humanity is shredded for heartless wit and the artless outpour where they come unburdened, their passion cloaked in feelings of goodwill. Unlearns he his lessons on history, social fault lines in stark clarity gape. Every spark of fire birthed, more torches lit from every fire, the cause and dissection both burn now the pyre. Peace that raises its whites shredded into smithereens. There is naught to be done, but wait for the tsunami's retreat when highly responsible ones just embrace silence and prayers. Found the God man's word that men are all connected by spirit around this universal space. Come true as compassion wars, sadness and anger. Our silent artist stunned in burning quicksand ran then to his brushes and pens, held on to them at death's door, death of his hope, as peace and love died a million deaths. Word and opinion finally singed his feet with burning coals and smoking hate that tried to win his humanity. Unable to take it much more, he died his silent death on the blessed paper fear and disheartenings unleash. When his brush found the last stroke, born again, the simple artist, as the peace from the skies rescued him off the volcano scapes, found himself in the company of a good Samaritan by his land, whose unfailing warmth gave him hope, helping hands and embracing smiles, gave him his hope and real muse. And this was to, I really like the interpretation of the selected prompt. It is, I can't remember what number it is without going to the contest, but it is of an artist standing on a cliff's edge. It's almost like he's overlooking an open volcano, and below him is a lava flow and the steam and smoke and fire rising from it. He's right on the edge of it. So this is erupting volcanoes never cease to spew lava flows and hell's rivers where found he his muse, uranium in the mine that maims you at reach, claws for his throat. I really like the interpretation. I also like the style this is written in. The writer uses what to me appears to be a European syntax, which I got used to as a child because my grandmother was from Europe, and so English being her second language, she would construct her sentences using European syntax, which is throw me down the stairs, my slippers. Once you got used to it, it was okay. But unlearns he his lessons on history, social fault lines, and stark clarity. I like it because it gives it a lyric quality to the writing, and that particular structure, I think, gives you a little bit of pause as you read it. The flow is somewhat different, and I think it suits this piece rather well. Okay. Oh, we've got 5 minutes left. I doubt seriously I keep saying we. Like I've got a mouse in my pocket. Anyway, I don't think we're going to, there I go again. I don't think I'm going to get through the rest of these. Let's see how long the last one is. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Looks as though we're going to have some carryovers. Surprising, we haven't had any carryovers in a few shows, but that's okay because we had some great stuff out here. Let me see, let me paste this and see what we've got going. If this is if this one's fairly short, then I will read it. If not, I don't want to rush. Oh, good. Okay. It is fairly short. So I think I have time to read this and comment on it. And then I will tell you about the next contest. Ars Artem Creer by Bill Schiller, which is another author that I've not had in any of my contests yet. So welcome and thank you for your contribution. From Mountain Peak of Multicolored Post-it Notes, my steed jumped at stampede speed. I galloped to Artem Chiboa, I galloped to Artem Chiboa, where imagination feeds an orca in the sky, can confuse eyes like desert oasis. Motions within clouds endow artist basis. Artem has left from earth to capture cosmic spaces. An owl flies from heaven, where kayak orbits an unnatural pattern. Digital surrealism of impasto scatters rods, strokes of genius. For talent is the majesty, a focus made more majestic. As my hoops trail from surreal appeal on Salvador Dali, we ride through fields where artist's fantasy denies folly. End poem. And here we started with a little bit of whimsy, and we finished the show with a little bit of whimsy. He took the one that Luke wrote to with the statue and the post-it notes and wove a few others in here and had some fun with the prompts. Have another little humorous write in here. It is always fun to read those, and it's nice to hit on a little bit of up note. I'm going to quickly go to my notes and see if I can. Okay, let me find my page here. I've started working on a contest, and let's see. We have, I think. Okay, the next contest that I'll probably post tomorrow are the psychological perceptions of Igor Morsky. This guy is a strange ranger. You can have some fun with this artwork. Let me pull it up so I can quickly remind myself. Oh yes, oh yeah. This is definitely surrealism. This one is got the same level of attention to detail as tonight's artist, but this one definitely dips into the psychological realm a bit more. Matter of fact, he has one of his portfolios that I borrowed most of the artwork from. It's called Psychology, so that's why I've titled it the way it is. But this one's got some really strange stuff out there, so hopefully you'll have a good time with it. The last two contests. I finished judging them, and I'll be posting them either tonight or probably tomorrow, because I think after this evening, I'm just going to go straight to bed after having a drink. Anyway, it's 11:59. I think we've made it to the end of the show, and I actually did it by myself. So forever, who else is still out there, thank you for sticking with me. And with that, I look forward to you folks in 2 weeks. And as we say around here, buen fin de semana, have a good weekend, and good night.